Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
And welcome to the ATS Mix. I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I continue to be his partner, Dave Rabbit.
And I'm glad that you continue to be.
Thanks. I'm very glad, too. A week later, still happy anniversary, Johninator.
Yes, happy belated anniversary. If you folks don't know what we're talking about, we are celebrating, as of last week, our 1 year of a partnership made, not necessarily in heaven.
No,
but
actually,
it was made.
Well, the only thing that's kept Johnny and I alive so far is he's in California and I'm in Texas.
Yeah, if we were any closer, there wouldn't be enough 2x4s, I don't think.
There wouldn't be enough of bullets and bombs and shotguns. No, we about killed each other this past year, but it really has been fun. But, you know, hey. Changing paddles.
Yes.
We have an absolutely fantastic show this time, and we start with sightings from our UFOologists around the world.
And also we have a special mystery guest that's going to get up on the soapbox.
Yeah, and then we have our interview with R. David Anderson, which we were going to do some weeks ago, and a couple things happened. Yeah, we weren't able to put him up, but boy, it's really a great interview, John.
And the thing that you folks might get a little confused about is he's not only a UFO experiencer, but he's also a paranormal experiencer in the world of ghosts and hauntings and stuff. So it's going to be very interesting for you folks. We also have, after the interview, we have a special segment. It's Mad as Hell, featuring you, Dave Rabbit. And in fact, I think the gas prices have probably gone up since you did this recording.
Yeah, we're still staying with the diesel truckers. This is the second diesel trucker I talked to. And it was $4.60-something at the time. Now in Dallas, it's almost a dollar more. So pretty
You mean it's almost
stuff.
$5.60 for a gallon of diesel?
For diesel, yeah.
Wow.
In Dallas.
Wow.
And we don't have a skeptic overlord, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, so
why
what
is
do
that?
We have to do? I don't know. What do we have to do, John?
He said so.
Tongue in cheek.
That's right. That's because we tracked down the founder, the original founder of AboveTopSecret.com, Simon Gray, and he sits down and he answers a bunch of member questions. In fact, if you have a question for Mr. Simon Gray, how can they submit that, Dave?
They can go to the ATS Mix information area, and there's a thing there. No, is it in the guest or in the information, John?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's in one of those two.
I think it's in the guest.
I think you're right. It is in the guest. And just go there and just click on and post your question, and then the Simonator will get a chance to answer it down the way.
Well, since we've got just about 30 seconds or so left here, got to ask you, anything exciting happened here, or have you been on another movie marathon?
Actually, I've been on a movie marathon. I went to see The Happening, which I was chomping at the bits to go see.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. You know, I thought it sucked. I thought it sucked just as bad as The Village. So,
well, I like The Village.
That's why. Well, then, John, you're going to love this movie. You're going to absolutely love this movie, John. There's no guy in a wolf outfit, you know, walking around. But, anyway. How about you want to listen to the show?
I want to hear the show.
Good.
This is ATS Mix.
What? Whoa, what am I hearing?
What is this?
From AboveTopSecret.com.
Oh, crap!
Here are your anomalous sightings
from around the world.
Here are the latest U.S. UFO sightings for AboveTopSecret.com. In California, 5 objects were observed. The viewer stated, "First, I would like to explain that these 5 craft did not all travel together. Second, they were not military nor civilian aircraft. There were no blinking lights. They defied the laws of physics, and they glowed, and that the light seemed to emanate from within them, not without, and they were brighter than any star in the sky. All the craft were spherical. They seemed to mimic stars in their appearance. The first 2 craft traveled parallel to each other and in formation. They seemed to come from the low northeast, banked south, then headed northwest. The third spear seemed to come from the north and moved in zigzags. It also moved northwest, in the same general direction as the first two. This single spear seemed to pause from our point of view in the direction of the constellation Draco for at least 3 seconds before continuing its flight. The last pair, totaling 5 spears, also came from the northeast and in formation traveled south. At one point in this pair's flight, one of the spears paused in the sky, while the other seemed to catch up to it. The movement and flight of these spears was very fluid, as if they were traveling through water. They were, for lack of a better description, swimming in the sky. At times, all 5 spears' lights wavered into different colors, but with a soft transition between red and silver light. They did not blink. Their light was constant. There was a total lack of sound. They also seemed to be flying outside of our atmosphere, but not as far away as the moon. All 5 objects seemed to be following a definite flight pattern, but we must stress that the movements were soft, like watching swimmers, slow and lazy. In Texas, moving objects were observed. The viewer stated they moved almost as if they were playing chase with each other. They would fly southeast, northwest, and it seemed like they were covering tens of miles in a split second. Lots of zigzagging patterns. Then they would disappear for a second and then show up instantly in another part of the sky. It was not a spotlight because there were no lights showing up from the ground. I have seen this twice within a 2-year period in the same area. It was in the western skies outside of Brady, Texas. This is David C. reporting for AboveTopSecret.com.
This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe with sightings from across Canada. British Columbia wins hands down, with Vernon, B.C. alone logging in 6 sightings in 3 days. The following 3 were submitted to UFOinc.com. On May 29th at 10:40 p.m. under clear skies, a witness reported standing outside to see if a light spotted previously would fly overhead again, and was rewarded with a similar recurrence. A bright white light flew over the observer's building at low altitude without making any sound, then proceeded east until it blinked out. This is the 3rd night in a row this orb has been spotted by the same witness traveling over a busy main street. Each night it reveals itself 20 minutes later than the last. The observer intends to continue monitoring the situation. The next night at 11 p.m., 3 witnesses in a boat were stargazing and saw a bright white light heading east over Okanagan Lake. It was larger and brighter than any satellite and was not flashing. The witnesses continued to mark its progress eastward when it suddenly grew dimmer until it flashed red and disappeared. On May 31st, between 9:30 and 10 p.m., a hotel employee was chatting with several guests at the pool when all of a sudden a massive white orb appeared in full view for all 10 people present to witness. As they marveled at the sight, it began to fade, only to be replaced by a 2nd similar orb, which caught the attention of several more people. The witness who submitted the report was relieved to know others had seen the same phenomenon and commented that something strange is happening in the skies of Vernon. Meanwhile, on May 30th at 1:30 in the morning in Montreal, Quebec, a witness was crossing the street at an intersection when a light in the sky caused the observer to look up. According to the reporter, at precisely that moment, a white-green light, roughly the size of a full moon, was floating in midair for 1 second, then flew up into the atmosphere and disappeared. The object's speed, movement, and color did not correspond to anything the witness had ever seen previously. And lastly, the observer who reported a sighting in Coteau-du-Lac, Quebec, has included photos taken May 30th at 1:30 a.m. of a 2nd green circular object making shapes in the night sky. This is Tamriel from Godbox Cafe, keeping my eyes to the skies for AboveTopSecret.com.
Well, John, I happen to notice that our mystery guest light is blinking again.
You know what that means? It means we got somebody waiting to teleport over onto the ATS Mix Soapbox.
So why don't you teleport our guest on over, John?
All right, buddy. Here's your goggles. Make sure you have them on securely.
Got them and all secured.
Right. Now remember, as I told you last time, things are going to get a little bit queasy as we're going to be bending time and space. So are you ready?
Sure, John. I'm ready. I was born ready. Hit the switch, Johninator.
All right there, Senor Rabbit. Engaging the teleportation in 3, 2, 1.
Toto and Yim!
From the soapbox, it's, oh, excuse me. Could you maybe introduce yourself, please?
Hello, this is Sam Aranto, UFO investigator and state director of Illinois MUFON, getting up on the soapbox. Looks like things are starting to heat up on the home front. At least in the world of ufology, that is. Major media, in addition to their cable counterparts, are producing more and more segments and even entire shows on the subject of UFOs. Recently, NBC Dateline aired a 10 Best UFO Photographed Evidence episode. UFO investigators, including myself, were given the opportunity to present their best cases. Currently, UFO hunters from the History Channel are in production on their new episodes for their second season, which will air in September. One of those new episodes will include one of my investigations, actually one of my favorites, the mass sightings known as Tinley Lights. Is change in the air on this topic? Is disclosure at hand? Who really knows? Well, one thing for sure, until it happens, I'll keep investigating and get the word out. On that note, if you'd like to hear more about my investigations and the topic in general, we are sponsoring an affordable mini-symposium on Sunday, June the 22nd, in Tinley Park, Illinois. Speakers will be Richard Dolan, author of UFOs and the National Security State, Donald Schmidt, co-author of Witness to Roswell, Dr. Mark Rodiger, scientific director of CUFOS, the Center for UFO Studies, and myself. You'll find all the details you'd need at www.illinoismufon.com. Again, the information is at www.illinoismufon.com. Whether disclosure is at hand or not, I hope to see you on June 22nd. This is Sam Maranto, stepping down from the soapbox, and thank you.
ATS Mix featured interview.
And so now, Mr. Rabbit, if you're ready, let's go ahead and bring our guest on. He's R. David Anderson. Hi, David. How are you?
How you doing, Johnny?
Real good.
I hope you're Johnny right.
And
yeah,
of course,
how you doing?
Yeah,
that's
Dave
right.
Rabbit.
Yeah, how you doing, Johnny? What's this? How you doing, Johnny? BS. What? You know, I thought I paid you extra money to use my name first. It's Dave and Johnny, not Johnny and Dave. Sorry. All right, listen, this is going to be such an interesting interview for all of our fans worldwide, as well as for the Johninator and myself, because you're kind of one of those guys that there's some guys that we interview and they're really, really, really great, and there's some guys that are, they're okay, but we're really looking forward to this because you're going to give us a different take on some things. But before we get started, David, I got to ask you, when people get passions, I've noticed, especially in the ufology community, and also people that are ghost hunters or whatever they do, or whatever passion they have, something had to be the catalyst to get them going in that direction. And I've just wondered, did anything when you were growing up as a kiddo, did anything happen, or did you experience anything or whatever, and you said, man, that's something I'd like to continue to pursue, when I get older?
Yeah, a lot happened to me as a child growing up. I grew up in a small, mid-sized town in central Ohio. And, I did have quite a bit of experiences with the paranormal. I'm sure more than average person. And it continued with me all throughout my life. I can't really say for sure why that was, but, it might have something to do with running in the family. I know my mother would have a lot of dreams, premonitions and things like that. And,
right.
And I do also have those types of premonitions going on. So,
About what age, David, would you say that you first noticed that there was something different or unique?
I would say probably about 9 or 10. And most likely around that time, there were quite a few unusual things that happened, things that I just couldn't explain, couldn't really isolate things or put a finger on it. I've always been a religious person and believe in God, and that's what I was brought up. I was raised a Roman Catholic, and I went to the church, and I believe in the authority of the church and everything. And when I was a child, I read the Bible from cover to cover, because I wanted to find out. And I was always curious about things. I wanted to know, what holds things together. If there's a God and a spirit and everything, how does this relate to man and to all of our history? And, I was a very reflective kid,
right.
Constantly thinking all the time I guess I was a real serious one in my class. You know, people always knew that. I was always after something, always investigating things, always tinkering with things, you know, tearing apart watches and trying to feel it makes
sense. So would you say your inquisitiveness would be was the real catalyst? You know, you're always wanting to find answers to the unanswered or whatever?
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, and I'm still that way today. I want to find answers and constantly searching in different directions and reading, you know, more and more, you know, the latest theories about the beginning of the universe. Yeah, I really am a very curious person.
Is there like a holy grail for you, David? You know, I mean, you know, Johnny and I both have ours. I mean, you know, Johnny obviously, you know, his holy grail is UFOs, and you know, he wants to be there when he sees things and whatever and experiences things. You know, my holy grail is Marissa Tomei, but what's yours?
Well, I suppose you know, if I have one, it's probably just the pursuit of paranormal. I do a lot of on the web. I look at a lot of webcams. You know, I like searching for ghosts, and sometimes I have those on my website. A lot of the caps that I've taken at various cams, one of them Wardsall Hall and Lankeock Manor in England. We have several other ones in the States, the Willard Library. And so I've taken a lot of these, and I've learned how to be able to filter, you know, through images to actually find what I think I'm finding is spirits.
Right.
And
well, actually, I want you to hold on to that thought here, because what we're hoping to do here is be able to break this down and have the first part of the show of this interview dealing with your personal experiences and some of the UFO experiences that you had. And then in the latter portion of the show, I want to talk about the paranormal and the ghost portion that you've gotten into. I'm just kind of curious, David. You'd mentioned that when you were a child and you obviously were a very spiritual person. I also was brought up and raised in a very spiritual atmosphere. All my family members on both sides being ministers, and that's what I ended up leaning towards. But I had a lot of thoughts that kind of went contrary to, obviously, what the biblical standard would be, so to speak. And I'm curious, you said that when you were younger and you first noticed that some of these things that were happening and some of the thoughts that you were having during the spiritual period, did you find that to be kind of a conflict with your spiritual upbringing? I mean, was there a conflict of interest in your viewpoint?
Well, everything sort of gradually changed over time. When I was really young, I guess, you know, if something happened to me unusual, I thought it was the power of God, you know, as a spiritual presence, and that perhaps God was sending me a message. You know, and that's the way I felt about it. But then, you know, when I had some other interesting encounters with things that I couldn't explain with, like, when I was a kid, it was really kind of hard to comprehend that in light of my faith and my upbringing in religion. Yeah, it was. I think that's always a challenge, even today, when you speak of UFOs or you've seen them like I have. It is kind of hard to not have that conflict with the spiritual side. But I think I've kind of pretty much brought the spiritual and the paranormal together, because I believe that they're related in many ways. Actually, I believe that the ghost phenomenon and the UFO phenomenon have many things in common.
When these events happen in your life, David, okay, these mm-hmm. things that you experience, you know,
yeah.
Are you aware that something's happening, or do you go like 3 days later and go, wow, and pop yourself in the head and go something like, you know, I could have had a V8? I mean, do you have that kind of a moment? Do you really realize what's going on at the time or not?
No, it's kind of hard because, you know, I've had some experiences with UFOs that were just so incredible that it's really difficult to, you know, a few days later even to believe it. And you look back and you just kind of shake your head and you're stunned. I mean, completely stupefied, right, out of your mind. I mean, it's kind of like you went and... I'm not going to take that reference. But, yeah, it is really weird.
Yeah, we got to keep it FCC compliant here, David.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But we'll let the listeners use their own words or whatever.
That's right. Mean.
I want to put the focus on the UFO chase. That's what I've called it. And it's some of the photographs that I've taken of UFOs being chased by helicopters and military planes.
Right. Great. Let's do
and
it.
And I have documented evidence on my website with photographs. I've taken photographs in the daytime. One of the ones that I have at my website, there's a link on my website on the left side. Actually goes to a web page about this, and there's a photograph there. And I took this picture in 2007, April 13th. It was around 11:45 a.m. At the time, I was out in the yard doing yard work, and I happened to look up and notice there was a checkerboard pattern of chemtrails all through the sky, everywhere from horizon to horizon. I'm thinking, this is strange. It's very unusual. And right away, it clicked in my mind that these Air Force jets are pursuing something. Right. So I ran into the house and got my camera and set it up, and I started taking some pictures, and my daughter happened to be out in the yard with me, and she said that there was a brilliant flash over in the west. So I aimed my camera there, took some pictures, and then when I went in and downloaded the pictures, sure enough, I found an object there, you know, right in the midst of all these chemtrails. This is one of the photographs that I present as evidence of our military, the upper echelons. They have secret programs to track and pursue.
David, you have so many different photographs of UFOs that you've captured on the on your website. Why don't you tell all our fans and listeners where they can look at these? So give everybody your website address again, if you would.
Yeah, it's mysteryportals.com, and of course, Mystery Portals is together, no space between that, the two words, .com. And right. All you do is put that into your browser on Google or wherever, and it'll come up. The first website,
so,
and you can click on that. And
you were mentioning that the military at times are around when you are photographing these crafts. Approximately,
absolutely, there's one experience that I have to go into, and right. I don't know how much time we have left because I want to get this in. But there was this one experience that was so amazing; it left me so stunned. That's the one I was referring to earlier,
right?
And that's the night. I believe it was in November 2004, early November 2004, and I was set up outside. I'd been going out on a nightly basis to observe for UFOs because I'd seen them the year before. So I'm there observing the skies, and suddenly an orange boomerang-shaped UFO comes over, going very fast, high speed. Not that high up, though. I'm not really sure of the altitude, but it was going fast. And then this was followed by a very large military jet, about the size of a 747, and that went over. I tried to take a picture, but it takes my digital camera a long time to load. So by the time I got my finger down on the shutter, then behind that, there's two other orange boomerang UFOs go over directly behind. They're all lined up, boom, 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 one way or the other. And they're all gone by the time I even get my camera activated, loaded in, ready to shoot, which was the most frustrating thing. And so I'm there, like, pounding the pavement, sweating it out, thinking, oh, my God, this is just the best sighting ever, probably ever. I'm never going to have the opportunity to get it, and I missed it. And then behind all of this, there comes a helicopter. I'm guessing that it was like a Black Hawk helicopter, but with no lights on. With no lights, and it comes shooting behind all this other stuff. So these orange boomerangs are being pursued by at least two different military aircraft. Then they all went over, and then a few minutes later, that very large military jet came back over my house, and it's flying real low altitude again, and just kind of circling around like they're, you know, looking for something or investigating. I'm not sure what.
Approximately what time of the day is this?
This is at nighttime.
Nighttime? Mm-hmm.
It was early evening. In November, the sun sets early.
Right.
I think we'd just gone off of daylight savings time, so it was probably around 6:37, and it was dark, a fairly warm night.
Now, this is one of the photographs you have on your website that our listeners can go to.
No, unfortunately, I never got a photograph of this.
Oh, is that right?
That's very unfortunate. Another one that I will cite, and that one is called Helicopters and UFOs. That might be the one you're looking at.
Well, I'll tell you what, okay. I'm looking at it right now, David, and if I can switch over to this, because that way the listeners that are at your site right now can kind of follow with us. You've got one that says that it's kind of bizarre looking. It looks to me like it appears to be something like a covered multi-leveled slinky from the old slinky days. How did you capture this photograph, and what's your opinion about what it might be?
Well, I think those ones, if you're looking at that picture, that was one of my earlier night photos I took probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And I was getting a lot of these sightings. I called them string of pearls.
Right.
David, I think he's talking about that one that is just humongous. It got everybody confounded. Even George Feiler said that it was a really wild photograph. It almost looks like the rear end of some type of propulsion system, or folded on top of itself, like kind of like what Dave said. If it was a slinky stretched out and had cloth covered over it, it looks like it's multi-folded over itself. But you're only seeing like half of it exposed. But it's a huge photograph that you've got. I mean, I've never seen any photograph like it. It's not the pearls and it's not a barbell. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think you may have it a UFO bases or something like that. I think you
that's
might
a
have.
Night. That's a night observation, I believe. That was something went over I saw this thing, and it had lights all over it, and I swung my camera around real fast and took a photo of it, and that's the way it came out. And I can't say, 100% sure what that is, but it did bring out a pretty bizarre photograph.
It is the strangest damn thing I have ever seen.
I have seen strange things, over my house, and I have things going on. If I go out in the summertime, I can lay out there in the backyard and look up at the sky, and every single night this same UFO will return.
Really?
And it's what I call a sprite.
Right.
They'll flash real bright, like brighter than Venus, in one part of the sky, and then 3 or 4 seconds later, flash again in a different part of the sky, way far away from where it was originally. So there's this is not a strobe light on an airplane or anything could be explained like that. This thing is, I don't know what it is. For God's sakes, I've been trying for 3 years to get a picture of this thing, and I might have, but I'm not 100% sure if I do have a picture of it. It's the damnedest thing. And it's always there. And fact is, the strangest thing happened to me last year on my birthday, June 17th. I went outside. I was on the computer, and I went outside to shut the water off because I was watering in the backyard.
Right.
And I turn around, and I look, and flash, right in front of my eyes, right there it was. Right above the, this small tree on the fence line there, and it's right there. And it's like, wow, I can't believe it. And I just shook my head. It's almost like it was saying, oh, this is a happy birthday greeting or something.
Well, there's another one on there that I think really looks cool, and I think you label it the barbell shot. What's the details about this one?
Yeah, that was a daytime shot, and I think that came over, and I didn't know what it was at first, and it looked like a very strange shape, so I got the camera on it. It changed direction abruptly from going directly toward the west. It turned did a right angle turn toward the south, just on a dime, just turned like that, and then that's at that point where I took the picture. And it does look like a barbell or sort of a mushroom shape at the front of it, connected to a cylinder. And there were a few other sightings of that object around that time. I believe there was another sighting up north around Redding or in that area, another sighting of a
That happened when? What was that? 2004, 2005?
Yeah, I think around that time.
Probably
2005.
The interesting thing about what I find in this photograph, David, Dave Rabbit, I'm speaking to, is that at this time we weren't really seeing a lot of these unusual photographs that David Anderson was photographing. And now later on, we're seeing some different types of shots, although most of them appear to be spheroid or spherical. David Anderson was capturing these extremely wild. In fact, he briefly touched on one of these called the pearls that he was capturing. And it is the strangest looking thing. It almost looks like, and this isn't going to be correct, but almost like a DNA strand illuminated.
I love DNA strands.
Yeah, they're great.
I don't know. Is that a wrong assumption there, Mr. Anderson?
It did look like a strand, you know, like UFOs somehow following each other in a line. That's why I call them the string of pearls. And during that particular summer, I saw that quite a bit. I have not seen that recently, though, but it was amazing at the time when I was getting those. I would see that for maybe 4 or 5 times during that summer that I got good shots of it.
And just so that we can confirm to our listeners that are still in the skeptic department, what you are photographing is pretty much exactly what you are seeing by the naked eye also. Is that not correct?
Well, some of those, I can't exactly say that. I would see, it would look like a star moving up there, like a string of pearls.
Right.
Like a star. But in the photograph, you know, the with telephoto and everything, it shows a lot more detail. So right. A lot of those, some of those aren't. I mean, most of my photographs, I do believe that with the naked eye that was appearing, like, for instance, the barbell UFO with the naked eye, that's the way it was appeared. With a string of pearls, no, you wouldn't be seeing each individual small light with your naked eye. You know, it took the magnification of the camera to do that.
So. Right.
Let me ask you then, David, because we're at the perfect spot for this. How many different types, shaped UFOs have you seen since you started your investigation, and how many of them do you think really exist, or are they just, you know, kind of a, you know, unexplained, you have to throw it in the unexplained category?
Well, that's a difficult question.
Yeah, I know, but that's why we have you as a guest, because you're going to give us the
yeah,
answer.
I'm sure there's always, you know, the shadow of doubt on any UFO. You know, I've seen a lot of good UFO pictures that I thought were, you know, bona fide craft from, you know, extraterrestrial source or whatever,
right.
And they get debunked by, you know, they'll come along and say, oh, this is an insect, and how they know the exact species of insect, I don't know. Right. That was the one at Knight's Ferry, I believe, that you told me about. And,
right.
And then they come along and say, no, this is a species of insect, and this has been, you know, 100% proven, and, you know, I don't.
I got to be honest with you, I still have my doubts that that's a bug.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too, and it looked like a dome-shaped craft to me.
Exactly. I couldn't see any legs. I couldn't see any wings.
Yeah,
I
it's kind of like a jellyfish, but you get jellyfish up in the sky, you know, and it doesn't look like an insect. So,
yeah.
But you know, I'm sure that any number of my photographs, somebody would come along and say it's this or that, and say it's been debunked. But you know, it's never. You got to take everything with a grain of salt, you know. They come along and they chop you up and, you know, make piecemeal out of you. But
right. Well, you know, of the stuff that you've done, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously I have my own opinions. John has his. But I'm curious to your take on it. I mean, the things that you see, do you think that they're ours, or do you think it's maybe theirs, or is it a combination of both depending on the sighting?
Well, I, on my website, I've gone into that on an article I wrote about the origins of UFOs, and I've tried to look at, you know, every possible perspective about where the UFOs come from. You know, I'm open to all kinds of possibilities. I believe that the UFOs have been here since biblical times, because there's actually accounts in the Bible, you know, the Ezekiel's wheel, whichever, but, you know, you always hear that quote. Yeah, they've been around for a long time, probably all through our history. So, I really take that into account. But then you also have to take into account, you know, other possibilities, like it's possible that they could be related to our military and doing experiments, you know, experimental craft and
sure,
things
right.
like that also. So.
We're just about ready to get into the ghost and the paranormal realm, and I have just one other question, which is kind of a follow-up of what Dave just asked.
Well, can I just say one more thing about...
Sure.
I did want... everyone to look at the picture I have on helicopters and UFOs. Now,
right.
Now this one happened in 2005, and I got the shot of two helicopters that were actually closing in on a UFO in that photo. And when I was outside observing again, I could hear the helicopters behind me for a long time, and then all of a sudden they converged on one area. to the south, a whole different location in the sky.
Right.
And that's when I had the feeling that there was some activity. So I took a shot directly from where I heard the sound of the helicopters. Then when I developed the photo and looked at it more closely, I could see what they were closing in on, and that was a white cylinder light there in the middle. And I've actually taken that and enlarged it. And this is another photo I kind of wanted to pass along as more evidence, of course, of the our military chasing, tracking and chasing UFOs.
Right. In
but
fact,
I think it's going on a daily basis.
Sure. I thought that was the one that you were originally talking about earlier at the very beginning of our interview. And it is. It's a fascinating photograph. And I would just like to reconfirm to our listeners, the camera you're using a non-digital camera, right? You're actually using a film camera. Is that correct?
No, I do use a digital.
Do you now?
It's a Nikon.
Okay.
5 megapixel. Yeah, I've always used that.
Okay. In all of these photographs and all the events that seem to be happening here, do you think that there has to be some agenda as to why all of this is happening? I mean, do you think that the visitations have to revolve around some type of agenda?
That's a possibility. You know, I think in that article I did bring that out, that, you know, if we are being visited by other life forms from other worlds, it's possible that they have some agenda here, like perhaps our DNA. They might be creating other life forms on other habitable planets in the galaxy. I mean, perhaps life did not happen by chance the way people want us to believe. Perhaps some of it was bioengineered, and perhaps these occupants of UFOs are bioengineering life on other habitable worlds out there. It might be a process that's been going on for thousands of years. You know, we're kind of like the big experiment. It's maybe perhaps Earth is just an experiment. So, yeah, I think there's a myriad of possibilities out there.
All right. Well, if you're ready, we're going to pursue something that I'm very interested in, and that's ghosts and the paranormal. You know, how
this is David, right? Good. I got you. You guys' voices sound so much alike.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay, well...
You do. You know, it does. You both have very similar sounding voices.
Wow. Well, thank you. Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
Johnny. Hi, you're David. Okay, now that we got the introductions out of the way. So my question is on ghosts and the paranormal. I mean, this is something that always has fascinated me, David. And the reason is because, I mean... I really believe, this is my personal belief, that a lot of the movies, a lot of the TV series and whatever, you know, that come about after a lot of extensive research. They go to AboveTopSecret.com, or they go to your site, or they go to, you know, the abundance of sites out there, and they go, wow, you know, this can be really kind of cool. Now, even though it's presented by the mainstream media as fluff to a degree, and I'm referring to Ghost Whisperer. Now, I fell in love with a Ghost Whisperer, not only because of the hot chick, but because of the subject matter.
Just love Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, God, I love that, Rod. Anyway, so here's my question. You've gotten into ghosts and the paranormal. How did you get involved with that kind of research?
It just sort of happened with my life. I think, well, my parents passed away when I was 16. And it was this, you know, another one of those odd things that happened. My dad died in an accident, work related, and my mother was just devastated, and she literally stopped living, and she got cancer and died 1 year later, exactly in August.
Oh my.
And so both my parents were gone. But the thing that got me was when they died, they were there. I could feel them. I could sense them. I could sense my father walking around the house. I could sense him walking into my room at night and standing there looking at me. And I even raised up in bed and said, "Hi, Dad." And then I could hear the floor creak as he went down towards my mother's room. I know that would freak a lot of people out, but that happened. Then my mother died, and that night the phone rang from the hospital, and I knew right away what a message was going to be. My mother had just passed away. She was terminally ill and very bad shape, and I knew that that's what it was. And my aunt came in that room and told me the news. And as soon as she told me that, I could feel my mother's hands caressing my hands, you know, and it was just not like feeling flesh, but just like feeling a warmth of energy, you know, surrounding my hands. And that always stuck with me all of my life. And so I knew that the afterlife was real. You know, it's just something we pass on to. And so this really was what initially drove my interest in this area. And at first, when I developed a website, I completely was ignoring this area of the paranormal ghost experiences. But then in time, my interest seemed to grow more and more as I was going on different boards and discussing ghost experiences with other people, and then going on to webcams and in various locations. And then I began to actually take caps off of webcams, and I have those at my website now. Many, many caps of what I consider to be ghosts or spirits. And I know some of them don't look, you know, what your preconceived notion of ghosts or spirits might be, but usually their features are there. I mean, you can see hair, you can see eyes, you can see noses, the chin line. Very rarely do you get a full figure ghost. I believe I did get a few. I think the ones I called the Meersburg ghosts from Germany, some of those were full figured, I believe. But most of them, just the face. But right. Yeah, this is something that you know, really interests me. It's becoming more and more of almost like an obsession, I guess.
Right. Well, I'm just kind of curious what if you were to refer our listeners and our fan base to a few of these areas where they themselves could then watch. And I'm supposing you're talking about these type of websites that have the cameras set up and it's a live stream of exactly what's going on in real time in these areas mm-hmm. where hauntings and ghosts are happening. What would be some of the areas that have kind of piqued your interest and might want to really garner some of our listeners' attention to pay attention to?
Well, Ordsall Hall is a really excellent webcam. They have two of them. One's in the Star Chamber, and I quite often see a lot of paranormal activity there. And also down in the Great Hall, which is a very large hall there. And, you know, I've always had a lot of success there, you know, depending on the level of activity. Sometimes it's just dead as a doornail, and other times it just be so active and you see so many faces, you know, you just don't know what to do, you know. But that's an excellent webcam. It's located in England, near Manchester.
Right.
And also Llanceuog Manor, that's in Wales. That's another excellent webcam. It's down quite a bit, unfortunately, but when they are running, you have to be patient with that one because it only refreshes every 5 minutes. But if you know, are real patient with it, and then you save the caps and examine them, you know, you're just liable to find some interesting things in those caps. In the United States, there's, of course, the Queen Mary webcam. That's a good one. And then they have Willard Library. I believe that's in Evansville, Indiana. I'm still trying to cap from there. I'm sensing that there's a lot of activity there, or there can be, but I usually watch the one particularly, I think it's the children's room there, and I'm always feeling that I'm getting close there, and hopefully pretty soon I'll be able to find something on that one.
Well, let me ask, can I ask you a question? I know you're kind of digging through some of the stuff, but have you personally captured anything, David, on your own, in ingenuity? And if you have, what are maybe a detail or two about it?
Well, sometimes you do have a feeling. I personally believe that the energy that surrounds a ghost when it appears is similar to what a pocket of energy that surrounds UFOs. I believe it's related to a vortex of energy, and in the vortex, it seems to be what connects time and interdimensions. So that's how I relate ghost activity with UFO activity. So for me, you know, it just makes sense. Sometimes I can sense when there's a UFO. For some reason, I can just feel it. You know, you just kind of get this almost like a energy flows through you. And the same thing with ghosts. And a lot of times I do sense that there's going to be activity or something there. And, you know, especially when I'm examining the caps that I take. Sometimes you just sense it. You look at that and you say, yeah, so this image is really ripe for ghost apparitions. You can just tell. They look different.
Right.
The way that energy affects equipment, too, electronic right. equipment, because I've gone on cemetery investigations before where, you know, my camera would just completely go blank on me. You just lose all of its power and just, you know, I can't even get the thing to turn on.
Right.
Because I know that somehow the energy is affecting that.
We hear that in many cases where there's a paranormal event happening, that batteries or anything that requires any type of energy seems to get sucked dry when the paranormal activity starts to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that did happen to me a few times when I was going out to cemeteries, and I did get some interesting photos at a local cemetery here with what I believe shows orbs around freshly dug graves.
Right.
And some of them, I know I have a webpage up there. I think it's graveyard photos or something like that. But you can go there and see those photos, and some of them look like spheres and orbs above the gravesite. That's, again, you know, I could sense and feel energy there as I was photographing that.
Just out of curiosity, when you say you sometimes you sense this or you feel the energy, what exactly, try to describe to our listeners what that feeling is like.
Well, I think for me, when I did the cemetery investigations, it felt a little bit like dread. I think it you don't like being in a cemetery at night.
Sure.
In the dark. I mean, right. There's nothing worse. And I'm nervous, just scared to death to do it. But I felt so driven. I wanted to go down there. I wanted to prove that there's an afterlife. Because, you know, I feel so strongly. It's there. And, I believe 100% because of my personal experiences. But I want to get proof. I want evidence, you know. So that's why, again, I'm tinkering. And, you know, like I was a kid tearing that watch apart and trying to find out how things tick. I want to know. And, you know, I'd read other material about experiments done at the point of death, other evidence, I think it was in infrared, of seeing the soul detaching from the body. And it was imaged several strands would rise up from the body at the point of death, and the strands would sort of intertwine together, almost like, you know, the DNA strand again, and rise up from the deceased person. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, one of these days to be able to get those kind of photographs, and I want to be able to demonstrate that, you know, this is what happens to us when we die. You know, we go on, and it doesn't end here.
All right, well, you know, we started out, and John Lee rudely interrupted you.
Oh, yes, it
talk
was me.
About it. Sorry. He knows I'm kidding. But, you know, you mentioned that when we very first started the interview that you thought there was a relationship between UFOs and ghosts and the paranormal. What is it that you think is kind of intermingles all these together?
I have a webpage at Mystery Portals. It's called Ghost and UFOs, and this is where I draw the relationship between the two. I believe that the elements that are characteristic of both suggest that there's common ground. And number one is UFOs and ghosts both have been noted to appear out of nowhere and then suddenly disappear. They both have that characteristics.
Right.
It's as though they come through a portal in time or through a vortex of energy. And so that's one of the, you know, a large factor they have in common there, both utilizing a similar type of energy. Number two, UFOs and ghosts seem to have a matrix of energy surrounding the area where they are present. A lot of times this matrix of energy has been seen enveloping UFOs. I've also noticed that in a lot of the ghost caps that I've taken, there seems to be a pocket of energy. Things seem to be more stirred around, like energy is at a heightened rate. And this happens with the UFO. I mean, I had a photo of one UFO when it came over. I remember I literally saw things get lifted up from the ground. You know,
really?
The energy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a photo like that. I'm going to have to get that.
Wow.
I'd love to see that.
I would love to see that.
I think I had over George Filer. It was about 4 years ago, though, and when the UFO came above a tree, and as it passed over the tree, as it came up toward the street, suddenly, almost like in a circular pattern, there were things just moving, you know, around it. And I'm not 100% sure what it was, whether it was dirt or who's to say what it might have been, or just energy moving around the UFO. But I'm going to have to see. Oh, boy, I hope I still have that photo. I'm going to have to.
I'm wondering if that might be like a byproduct of some type of vortex energy or a beam or something
because of
interdimensionality.
Like a vortex around or a matrix of energy around the UFO. And I've also noticed this to be true when during a ghost apparition, there being this matrix of energy. Because, you know, I did have a ghost sighting in 1998 where I was working at a plant not far from my house, and I had a summer job up there as a security guard because I teach during the regular year, but over the summer sometimes I get these part-time jobs, and I was up there in the graveyard shift walking out along the railroad tracks going out towards a pump station, and I was coming back from my rounds, and all of a sudden I see this lady skipping down the tracks, and she was in a white dress and very luminescent looking. She was counting the rails, and she got near to me, and she looked up, and she just giggled, and then she goes, oh, I lost count. And then she continued to skip down the tracks, starting counting, one, two, three, and she would get down the tracks, and I kept staring, and all of a sudden, her voice just drowned out, and then I started blinking my eyes, and all was left down there was sort of this mist, an area of mist, almost like a pillar of mist. I couldn't see her form anymore. It was gone. It's just as though she had disappeared into a vortex of energy or a matrix of energy. And that mist just hung there for almost 5 minutes. And finally, it gradually dissipated. But that was one of my biggest ghost sightings that I've had. And
now that was a full.
I was never scared.
And that was a full body apparition, right?
Full body, yes, full body. She was wearing a long white dress, and she did not look like she was dressed for this time at all, like someone from maybe 50 years ago. But very young. Like I say, she was laughing, mounting the rails on the track as she went along. Oh, I guess I better state that the number three relationship between ghosts and UFOs is also a spatial distortion may occur near the ghost or UFO. I think this is probably a little bit related to the second point. But, you know, taking all three of those things together, there seems to be a lot of things that are common between UFO and ghost apparitions as far as the type of energy. Now, where this energy comes from, how it's being employed, I don't know. It seems like something, like a vortex field, and this field can be used by UFOs or other celestial beings. They can enter a portal into a vortex field and likely to transform all matter into streaming energy, and at this higher state of being, transference to other levels of existence would likely be instantaneous. That's just something I wrote there on my website.
Have you noticed that since you've gained a interest or your interest has kind of moved over into ghost and paranormal, that your UFO sightings have decreased?
No, not at all. I'm still like that sprite that I think Johnny was the one that termed that when I didn't know, you know, what to call it. And I explained to him what it was like, and he said, yo, that's a sprite. So after that, I've always called it the sprite. That appears all the time. For some reason, it's seasonal, too, in the summer, in warm weather, and it appears. My UFO sightings have not tapered off drastically since I got interested in the ghost area.
By the way, I forgot to tell you in one of our previous emails, about 3 or 4 months ago, I finally was able to capture on video one of those blinking sprites.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's very dim, but it showed up. I felt so stupid. Wow. Here I am in my backyard jumping up and down. I finally caught one of you guys.
Well, you have to send that one to me. I'd like to see that. Because, you know, I've been trying to capture that thing I tried to capture it on video, but oh boy, it was just, and the thing blinked about 10 times.
Right.
But for some reason, I couldn't get that thing on video. I do have some video footage of that, but I have a problem transferring TS to the MPEG, so
right.
I'm going to have to try to get that done.
What we'd like to do here, with your permission, is we would like to be able to post on our interview thread a link to your website, if that's all right with you.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And if possible, great. We would like to have you come back on our show at another time, and maybe you can fill us in with some of the other paranormal experiences that you've been capturing and seeing at some of these ghost websites that you like to view. If possible, if you can get that darn photograph of the levitating objects, Dave and I would be just really flipping in our grave.
You know, I'm going to have to search that because I had it saved on my old computer that crashed, and I might not have a copy of that anymore, but it was at George Filer's website. I'm going to have to go back and go to his archives and see if I can find it.
Okay.
He probably still have it somewhere.
Okay.
On there.
Both Dave Rabbit and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on the ATS Mix with us, and we hopefully will be able to have and listen to some more interesting stuff from you in the future.
Well, thanks a lot, Johnny and Dave. It's been a pleasure.
I really appreciate it, brother. I hope I've been able to enlighten you a little bit. Oh, I tell you. Listen, will you do me one favor, though? We'll send you my private number off air. If you happen to see, get Marissa on any kind of, sightings or whatever, could you let me know?
Okay, we'll do that. Sure thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd
24
like that.
Hours, 7 days a week. I don't care. Call Dave and let me know if you see anything to do with Marissa, okay?
Sure.
I love that chick. All right, brother. Listen, we really appreciate the time. You did a great job, and we're really very proud that you stand up and say what you feel, and let the cards where they lay, David. Don't worry about anything, especially from us. Johnny and I are loons. I mean, we don't give a rat's buttocks what people think. So hopefully, you'll just get a tougher skin and just pursue your passion, brother. That's all I can tell you. Pursue your passion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen to who's talking. Somebody with an anonymous name and one with the name of an animal.
Yeah.
And we're giving advice.
Yeah. Yeah, we're excellent.
It's a magic trick, man.
Well, we're up for the priesthood, but, anyway. All right.
Thank you, David.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And there you have it.
There you have it.
All right, John, I guess we'll be back with more ATS Mix after this, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, we've let the ATS Mix microphone out loose on the streets to find out what America thinks.
Am I on the air?
Are you listening?
Hold on to your speakers, because this is I'm Mad as Hell and Don't Want to Take It Anymore. Starring the people that are out there on the streets. And also with Dave Rabbit.
Yeah, I'm mad as hell and I ain't going to take it no more.
Right, Johnny, you won't believe, but I've been sitting in this truck stop in East Texas for over an hour, and it has been that long before I found one independent trucker whose name is Chris. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Okay. I'm doing great, but evidently independent truckers in the United States are not doing great. How has all this diesel price increase? I mean, $4.65 today in Dallas or Texas area. How's this affecting you personally and your family?
Real bad. Real bad. I'm mad as hell because the fact is that I used to fill my truck up at a certain price, but now I'm almost spending double the check to just get the fuel. And it ain't getting no lower.
Right.
So I am mad. And this is my last week.
Are you going to become a company trucker?
Yeah. I either choose to become a truck driver for a company I've already got in mind, or either I just leave trucking for business alone for a while.
Do you own your own rig?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I can't even begin to fathom at the amount. What does it cost you a week just to keep your rig rolling?
Well, the tank now, it costs no less than $800
for a week for you. Just
no, just for one fill up.
But I know, but in other words, you may have multiple fill-ups
right.
a week, depending on how
many loads I take a week,
Okay.
So, but
okay.
Every fill-up, if I allow it to get to the bottom,
right.
You're talking about $800. So I'm spending more than
$600 per pop.
Are you married? Have
no,
a family?
No.
Okay, so you say, so is, do you think that's an advantage not having dependents that are depending on you? I mean, it's hard enough for you as
yes.
an individual, right?
Yes, at this time, yes.
So how do you guys get paid? I've always wanted to ask a trucker, how do you guys get paid if you're independent? You contract with XYZ company to mm-hmm. pull their stuff or mm-hmm. whatever mm-hmm. And, because it's they use independents as opposed mm-hmm. to having their own fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work when you're working for some company?
Well, the thing is that they have, a lot of the big companies have programs they have set up where so you, if you agree to take the load, then all the money's come to you after they done took out, like they set up a maintenance fund or whatever, you know, just
right.
stuff like that. But everything comes to you. But at the same time, once you calculate all of the fuel costs, tire costs, and everything else costs, it ain't that much.
So, you know, and I don't want to dig too personally, but I mean, what does, I mean, and of course, it's really, I made a comment to you mm-hmm. earlier that I thought, based upon how long it took to find an independent trucker at this truck stop,
yeah.
that it's a dying breed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't foresee that you guys can possibly stay in business
no.
Simply because of the diesel
no.
prices.
No, that is killing us all together by itself.
Right.
That's killing us.
So was your decision to change, you know, get out of being an independent? Are you going to sell your rig, I guess? Is that
no,
how it
I'll
works?
I'll probably hold on to it until I see if it's going to be a change.
Right.
I give it about a year, but I am going to do something that's different altogether.
Right.
Like I said, I may even just go company driver. Many of us have chose that route,
right.
but I may just go company driver either. I'm on my way back home now.
Right.
To make that decision.
Well, Chris, listen, I know this was a time out of your life that you don't have a lot of time, but I really appreciate you giving me the time,
yeah,
Chris.
I
best
that.
Of luck to you, brother.
Yeah, all right, I tell you, I hope y'all do something about this.
All right, well, we're going to give it a shot.
Thanks,
thank man.
You.
I appreciate
right.
it. Thank you, brother. Well, John, you know, I mean, that gives you some idea. I mean, here you have an independent trucker that has been doing this for several years. And, I mean, he's got to the point now to where he's not going to be an independent anymore simply because he's not going to be able to afford what the diesel prices are right now, much less what they're forecasted to be. I'm going to try to get some more interviews, but this is just really, really upsetting. It really is.
Being part of the revolution is easy. Star, flag, and dig the mother. Whether you find a great topic or really enjoy one of our podcasts, you can make it even better by taking the time to show your appreciation and applause by giving the material a star, then flag, and finally a dig. This will draw attention to the thread or podcast, and by doing so, you're making a difference and improving the ATS, BTS, and Above Politics experience. So remember, when you find a great thread or podcast, star, flag, and dig the mother. Thanks for being part of the revolution from your friends at the Above Networks, LLC.
In the beginning, there was
Simon Gray.
Now coming to us and you
via British satellite borrowed from the Secret Service.
Communicating from his bunker somewhere in the UK.
Started my first website back in 1996.
There, it just grew.
It's the original gangster of AboveTopSecret.com.
I definitely agree with you.
Simon Gray. Now with permission from Her Majesty's Secret Service and the Queen. ATS Mix presents Simon Says. Oops, Simon didn't say, did he? Now Simon Says, start the show. Dave and Johnny.
And yes, indeed, it is Simon Says. Through the marvels of technology, Dave and Johnny are connecting over to the UK right now with the original founder of AboveTopSecret.com, Mr. Simon Gray. Hi, Simon. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
Well, it's a long time no see, boss. I mean, geez, you know, I mean, I hearken back to the original Mod Squad thing, Dave, before I even became a Mod Squad member, and we did that interview with the three of you guys, which was pretty historic. Other than that, we talked to you, I think, one time since the ATS Mix show has been up. So this is only our second time as a partnership for ATS Mix.
Yeah, it feels a bit weird. I mean, I do remember the last time we spoke, and it was good to talk to all the members and speak to yourselves. And, I mean, to be honest, like chatting on the board and through emails, it doesn't feel like it's been so long, but glad we got together again.
Well, it's good to have you on board, brother.
John, you know, we want to maximize our time with Simon since we don't have a lot of time that we get a chance to talk to the boss. So
right.
You got anything to say before we start hitting some member questions? And we also have some people that want to participate and ask Simon questions live, too.
I'm sorry, what was the original question?
Oh, I don't know. I forgot.
Do you want to ask Simon anything?
Yeah. How's the weather, Simon?
The weather hasn't been too bad today, actually. It was actually quite hot yesterday as well. I think in terms of Fahrenheit, it must have reached the high 70s today. So, yeah, I haven't seen much rain for a few days now. Let's hope it stays that way.
The last time we had a chance to talk with you, you had mentioned that you were having some telecommunications problems. Did you get all those solved?
Yeah, that's all solved now and up and running. Got the landline in. That was the problem last time. And got cell phone and BlackBerry and all email and all that crap. So, yeah, I'm good to go on all the fronts now, I think.
Did you ever get reimbursed for all those times and months that they were charging you for?
Yeah, I did. I was reimbursed. They cut out the connection charge as well, and they gave me a couple hundred pounds on top as well as a sign of goodwill. So, yeah, in the end, I came out on top monetary-wise anyway, but it was an absolute pain getting that sorted out, I'll tell you. Never move into a new property.
Well, what did they give you a couple hundred pounds of? You know, kitty litter or what?
Dosh, moolah.
That's the currency.
Oh, you're talking about the British currency. I see. Very good. Well, you never know. All right. Listen, boss, we got a you know, I tell you what's really amazing, and I got to say this real low because we don't want Bill and Mark to hear. But, you know, you seem to be the most popular amigo of the three. And every time we put anything about what we're going to do with you, I mean, the membership questions just go through the roof. So, I mean, congrats, brother.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. But, you know, the reason for that is quite simply because I'm never on the damn board. I'm always the quiet one.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got Bill talking to all the guys in the business forums, and you got Springer talking in the UFO forums, but me, I just lay back and take it easy, and I like to read all the threads nowadays, to be honest.
So you're a closet lurker.
I am, yeah. I mean, this is probably what happens after you spend 10 years on ATS. You go crazy. Mm. But, you know, in the early days, I spent, I don't know, loads and loads of time just talking and chatting and getting involved and creating articles. But nowadays, I've spent so long writing them and all that sort of stuff that I quite enjoy just sitting back and reading what all the other people have to say. I mean, there's stuff out there I've never heard of before and come across, and, you know, I just quite enjoy listening to everyone else talk and discuss the things on the forums.
And I guess it kind of really gives you a sense of pride, Simon, when you stop and think about the long road that this really took. And, you know, we've talked about the histories, and we're not going to go dig those back up. But, but I mean, you know, it must make you really proud when you stop and look at the humble beginnings that you started, and then all of a sudden can sit there and look at things and go, wow. You know,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the 10 years, we're going strong. We have millions of posts on the site and a couple of 140,000 members. I mean, it's absolutely massive compared to how it was when it first started back in 97. So, yeah, it's definitely something to be proud of.
All right, well, let's get to it. We got a bunch of members, and I told Johnny off air, and I guess we'll say it on air, you know, a lot of members, they kind of go into these big song and dances, and then they finally have a question. So we're going to kind of pick through each member's post and ask the question that we think would be the most apropos.
Yeah,
and this is from, the first one's from Dunwich Witch, and he or she says, seriously, I've heard of several times ATS was approached by the alphabet agencies. I would love to hear, Simon, if any of the actual happenings surrounding these encounters were actually true, and if they were, what took place?
You know, you're probably going to have to elaborate on that. I mean, we've certainly been contacted in the past from legal firms and from law enforcement, but that was nothing conspiratorial, to be honest. I mean, that was simply a case of we had some members on the board talking about topics which were illegal, or they were involved in something illegal, and their presence became apparent because of their postings on the website, and that's really our only involvement. I mean, it may be possible in the past we've been contacted by alphabet agencies such as the FBI or CIA or NSA, some agency like that, but to be honest, for the life of me, I can't remember. So it's probably not the exciting answer that member was hoping for, I'm afraid. But if you can find a post on the board where we mentioned it, I mean, I'll be happy to speak to him on the forums in more detail.
And so, in other words, Richard Belzer has not sold his soul to an alien overlord in a skeptic overlord suit, and ATS is not a COINTELPRO site owned by Christian right-wing extremists? Oh, my God, tell me it's not true, Simon.
No, absolutely not true. Sorry about that, but we are definitely not COINTELPRO.
All right. Well, our member by the name of Whitewash has this question to ask. Have you ever had a personal experience with a UFO or extraterrestrials? And if so, could you please tell us about it?
No, I haven't. I mean, I mentioned in the past on the boards, and I think in the first ATS mix show we did together, that I did see an aircraft up in the sky, which I couldn't describe. It certainly wasn't like any aircraft I'd ever seen or read about or researched in the past. I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a UFO of the alien variety, that's the closest I've ever come to that. And no, there's been no aliens visiting my place either.
All right, good. Well, if they ever do, I guess you'll tell us on the
site. Yeah, and take a photograph.
Oh, yeah, I'll be sure to slap a bumper sticker on there. On their
yeah, a bumper sticker, I love that. All right, Whitewash says, Dear Simon, I love it when it starts like this. Sorry if this has been asked before. Have you ever had a personal experience, which is what Johnny just got through saying?
Yeah, I just asked this question.
Did you do Whitewash?
I just asked.
Oh, sorry.
Go to Space Visitor.
Well, I guess. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I guess that was true. If you've
been
asked
deja vu, Dave.
Hey, you remember our show where we did about deja vu? Perfect example. Sorry, I didn't scroll down. Space Visitor. Hello, Simon. I would like to ask you the following question, if it hasn't been asked already. Let me scroll down through. Okay, this is pretty interesting, and I'll ask this one because it's kind of, I think, of the ones that they have. It says, I see in your profile page that you are especially interested in the topic Area 51 and UFOs. May I ask you why or what triggered your interest in this phenomenon?
I first became interested purely out of watching the X-Files TV show. I think it may very well have been the very first episode, which was about a secret military base, and Mulder sees the triangular UFO/aircraft flying overhead, which was supposed to be at Area 51. And I just thought, wow, this is really cool. What if these places actually existed in the U.S.? So this was the early days of the internet, so I had a fish around. There wasn't too much out there, but, you know, I spent most of my time looking at books in the library, and I came across this place called Area 51 in Nevada. I thought this was really cool. Other people should hear about this, too. So I took that, I went onto the internet, and I made what was to become ATS. So Area 51 was the topic of my very first webpage.
Cool.
Very cool. A member by the name of Synthesis says, Dear Simon, I wanted you to know that when I first viewed your site, it appeared to be a living organism, vast and buzzing with controversy, alternative thinking, and mind-boggling news. When you first started ATS, did you ever think it would get this huge?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I saw this post on the forums, and I tried to do a bit of research about it. I mean, I actually looked back, and when I first started ATS, our very first message board was one of these free boards that I went to another company for. And looking at the current stats on this old board, which still exists,
really,
there's a total of it's still out there. I can't believe it. It's still out there. It's still on the web. I'm probably the only person that's viewed it in the last year, but nonetheless, that board has a total of 9,962 posts. That's the total amount of posts.
Wow.
Now, when you compare that to the current board, which has about 4.4 million posts, I mean, you can see the size difference.
Sure.
I mean, even the amount of members, our good old first board had 494 total members. We have about 140,000 now. And I think looking at our stats, we actually have about 400 members on our board per week. So in terms of scale, ATS is just skyrocketed past what it was, you know, even a few years ago, and even as much as a year ago. So size-wise, BuffTopSecret.com is huge, and plus the fact we ventured out past the website into the ATS Mix show we do with you and Johnny, and, you know, we have a book coming out in a few months, hopefully, and we're trying to push into other mediums as well, and Springer's done a couple of shows about UFOs and some of the things he's been researching, so, I mean, it's absolutely massive, and it's nothing like I could have imagined when I first started it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to bring in one of our members. In fact, he is the co-host from the Above Politics show, Martin Bain. So we're going to connect with him. He's one of your fellow Brits there, too. So this will be fun.
Hey, Mr. Rabbit, how are you?
Hey, Martin, you're on the line with the Simonator.
Hey, hi, I suppose very well, thank you, Simon. I suppose I should call you one of my bosses, should I?
Well, you could do. I don't like to use that term. You just call me a mate.
Call me if you want to keep your job, Martin.
Yeah, call him anything, but just don't call him late for dinner. Isn't that right, Simon?
Well, we can call me Mr. Gray if he wants, but I much prefer Simon.
Hey, I can live with that.
All right, Ed, welcome to the show. And, of course, we said right as we were dialing you that you and your lovely co-host, Justin Case, have the Above Politics show, and it's going really well, and you've done a marvelous job. And I'm sure Simon is very proud of you, aren't you, Simon?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, any time when members go from just posting on the boards and then especially becoming a moderator, because that's a hell of a job in itself, to expanding into doing their own podcasting and promoting ATS and Above Politics and BTS, you know, it's fantastic. I mean, what more can I say?
All right, Martin, you're online here with him, so you have a question that you've wanted to ask Simon over the period of time you've been a member.
I certainly have, and it's probably one much more delving into sort of UFOs Area 51. And I was interested, Simon, in how significant do you think that the opening of the UK's official UFO archives is?
Well, I think any form of UFO disclosure by a government is a good first step towards the public getting some disclosure and finding out what's been happening in the past and what their government's involvement in UFO research has been. I mean, since the UK adopted their own version of the Freedom of Information Act, that was a brilliant first step. And once we start getting archives out there, I mean, what more can you say? Anyone in the public can start delving into these things, seeing what's going on and seeing what people have been investigating.
But I suppose one of the things is I'd probably be slightly skeptical here, Simon, and say,
yep,
how do we know they've actually released everything?
Yeah, that's the perfect point there. Chances are they're probably not releasing hardly any of it, unfortunately. But if you want to take the proactive approach, I always say it's good that governments are sort of pushing towards a bit of UFO disclosure. I mean, despite the fact I'm sounding positive, I actually don't think full disclosure would ever occur, to be honest. But just so long as they're making the effort to, you know, respond to the public wanting to know if there have ever been any UFO sightings or even contacts. I mean, this is the way forward. It's going to be a slow process if it ever does come to full disclosure. So I think we have to look at it in a positive manner.
Hey, well, thank you very much for that, Simon. I appreciate that one. And can I put a little plug in for the Above Politics show, guys?
I think you just did.
Yeah, we love the selfless cross promotion. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say, if you want some fun, you listen to Below Top Secret. You want some serious stuff, you listen to the ATS Mix. When you want the politics stuff, you listen to the Above Politics show with Justin Case and me, Martin Bain.
Well, you're our favorite Brit next to Simon, if that's any consolation for you, Martin.
I can live with being number two to Simon.
All right, very good. Cheers, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Martin.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Very good.
And congratulations, Dave. Why? Well, because you actually disconnected one person out of four without disconnecting all of us.
Yay!
Which I normally do. Okay, that was fun. Okay, we got another one that we're going to do down the way after several questions. This next member, Rick Riley, says, thank you for starting ATS, Simon, and I'm sure you've been asked, you know, how you started all this stuff and whatever, but it really gets down to, what are your projections, Simon, and what direction do you see ATS heading in the next 10 years?
Well, I sort of mentioned it in the beginning of the show, but I think we have to go offline. I mean, obviously our roots are with the Internet and the World Wide Web, but, I mean, we're obviously now pushing towards other mediums such as books, where we have our first book coming out soon, which has been written by Jim Mars, a very well-known author in the field. We'd like to get into things even such as ATS conventions, where we can hold those around the world. I mean, once we can afford to do this sort of thing, and we'd love to organize those kind of events where our members can come and chat with each other and listen to the owners and maybe even the moderators and yourselves talk about the website and what we're up to and events going along in the world. So, I mean, I think realistically, if we consider books Maybe getting on to some more TV shows and radio, those would be a good first step, and from there, who knows where we can go. 10 years is a long way away, so I'd hate to even guess, but I think if we can get into publishing, so books, maybe magazines, if we can break onto TV and radio and maybe get some conventions going, I think that would be a brilliant start.
Before I ask my next question, Simon, Rick Riley had another question that I thought was an interesting question. He wanted to know, what one person in your life would you possibly call your mentor? Or maybe if you had more than one mentor, who might they be?
I guess if I had a mentor, it would certainly have to be my father. He's always been the person I try to base myself on. He's been a brilliant friend and one of the closest people to me. He's given me advice about absolutely everything, and he's even the one who pushed me to create a website. Back when I created the first version of ATS, he was just getting into web development and programming, and he says, hey, if you have something which really interests you, why don't you, you know, get it out onto the web so all the other people out there who have similar hobbies and similar interests can have a look at it as well and see what's going on. And you know, from that moment, that's where ATS kicked off, and it certainly would not have happened if it wasn't for my dad.
That's great. Speaking of the website, JHill76 wanted to know, Simon, if someone did come up and make an offer that was large enough, would you sell the site?
ATS isn't mine anymore. It now belongs to myself, Skeptic Overlord, and Springer, but, if we were to even consider selling AboveTopSecret.com, we would certainly want to have something to do with it, and it, you know, the only way we could ever consider selling it is if it benefited the members, nothing was going to change. ATS is renowned for what it is. It's free online discussion, it's innovative, it's, we give members what they want, so, I don't think it's likely. I don't think we're really considering it. As has been made public in our previous post, we've taken on venture capital investment to better ATS, and that's the route we're taking at the moment. Excuse me.
So we don't have to worry about like a Rupert Murdoch buying up Fox News, also buying up ATS and corrupting us, right?
Nah, hell no.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but we like corruption. Okay, 44 Soul Slayer says, Simon, have you got any radical new plans for the website that you may have in the works?
It depends what he means by radical. To be honest, I'd say the boring answer to that is no. We're pushing for, the video, TV, books, those sort of things. So, if you consider that radical, it's brilliant, but no, I have nothing fantastic I can say more than that, I'm afraid.
Right, and I think this next member by the name of Hinky kind of coincides with the question that Dave asked. So rather than ask all those questions, I'll just add, he wants to know that he's heard us on Coast to Coast AM being advertised. Do you foresee us also possibly eventually being advertised for like the Super Bowl in the United States or on Munster.com or GoDaddy.com?
Well, one of our current things in the works is to try to break into some more advertising, and mainstream media is something which is a bit of a difficulty for us because we are obviously a niche category. Conspiracy theories isn't something which, in the past anyway, hasn't been very well received. But you just have to look at the cinema and all the movies out there right now. Even things like Indiana Jones has now got aliens and flying saucers in it. So as conspiracy theories and aliens and UFOs pushes more into the public limelight, and really becomes a part of everyday life, I think that we'd stand a better chance of getting onto those sort of things. But secondly, of course, you have to think of money. It's going to cost a heck of a lot to get ourselves onto something like that. So you got to look at it from two fronts: both money. We would obviously have to pay a hell of a lot to be advertising on something like the Super Bowl. Who knows? We'll see how powerful we are in 10 years' time.
All right, and you may or may not know the answer to this because, as you said previously, Above Network LLC is a LLC, and it comprises you and Mark and, of course, Springer, the Springinator, and Bill, the Skeptic Overlord, and, of course, also some of the deep-seated financiers, this cracker Steve-O. Blimp Seeker has two questions, and the first one really is has to do with, you may not know the answer to this. Word on the street has it that Belzer, and he's referring to Richard Belzer, hasn't gotten paid for the 5th of November appearance. Is there any truth to that?
He did it for free.
See? Then I guess he still hasn't been paid, has he?
No, well, in that case, no, we haven't.
All right, now, the one that I absolutely love.
Yeah, and I want to know this, too.
I want to know the answer to this, Simon. I don't care what you do. We're going to put your fingers in the Chinese torture chamber, but we want to find out about the murmurings that you are dating and, well,
stick to dating.
Everybody can put their own words in. Natalie Portman, is there any truth to that?
Where'd you get your information from?
The Natalie Portman website that said, who is that good-looking British guy that Natalie's been seen with?
We're going to have to end this interview. I think this is getting a bit too in-depth. No, I'm not dating Natalie Portman, unfortunately, but keep the rumors coming.
All right. We'll do our best to keep spreading that rumor then. Access denied.
I could date her if you want to get me a number.
All right. Well, there you go. If anybody's got her home address or her email address, please send it to Dave and Johnny, and we'll forward it on to Simon. Access Denied asked this question. I realize most of the focus has been on promoting ATS, but Simon, do you have any plans in the works for any of the sister sites like BTS?
At the moment, most of our efforts have been on ATS and the ATS podcast show. And another big thing which is going to come into focus a lot more in the next few months is obviously the presidential elections. So we'll be focusing on the political side. But, I mean, certainly don't count BTS out. We've obviously tried to get the BTS podcast shows going, and we have moderators who are trying to get some contests going. So, I mean, we're always going to try and push that as much as possible, but we have to realize that ATS is an active draw, and that's where people want to go the most. So we have to focus on that. But now, certainly don't count BTS out. We'll always try and get some things going to keep it good and lively and attract more visitors as well.
Well, speaking of moderators, one of the people that was clamoring to get on the horn with you and ask you a question themselves is another employee of the Above Network LLC, and that is Moderator The Borg. We're going to bring him on right now.
How's it going, boss?
Hey, what's going on? Oh, you're talking to Simon, not me, right?
Both of you guys, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
All right, yeah, Borg, where are you
located?
Me, I'm in Washington State, kind of like just south of Seattle.
Yeah, see, this is completely international now, isn't it? I've got all the corners of the U.S. and me on my little pond, little island. And so.
Working our way towards world domination.
Yeah, really. All right, Borg, what's your question, brother?
All right, well, I got one question, Simon. What's one new feature that you'd like to see on ATS that hasn't been brought up yet?
God, that's a tough one. I think it would be really cool if at some point we could get video podcasting going. Obviously the audio stuff is doing absolutely brilliant, but if we could get video casting, I guess you could call it, on at some point in the future, I think that would give our members a chance to start creating their own little mini documentaries and little mini shows. I think that would do really, really well. I mean, hell, I'd probably get involved in that as well, to be honest.
All right, Borg, you have another one? We'll let you do two with the Simonator.
Sure. When's the next big ATS get-together going to be, and where might it be at?
the first big get-together we had was in New York for our 10th anniversary shindig in New York. So I think if we could arrange another one, we'd have to do it in a major city to make it easy for everyone to get to. In terms of time, I have no idea. I think, we must be overdue for another ATS get-together. I know a lot of the members arrange their own little get-togethers around the U.S. quite often. So, I mean, I think, who knows, maybe end of this year, beginning of next would be quite good, I think. But we'll just have to wait and see.
All right. Well, listen, Borg, say your goodbyes to the Simonator.
Have a good one, bud. I'll see you around.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Thank you, Borg.
Hey, Borg, thanks a lot, brother.
Not a problem. Anytime, guys. Have fun.
Mod rules.
Always.
All right. Well, Simon, you know, because there's so many different things, you know, we're doing two shows with you. So, you know, we're going to let you go for this week. But I can't thank you enough for giving us the time and doing all the things and answering all the member questions. And we just really look forward to next week there, Simon.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been good talking to you. So, I'm looking forward to the next one.
All right, so until we talk to Simon next time, I would be Dave Rabbit.
And I'm still Johnny Anonymous.
And we'll see you next time on the ATS Mix.
Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll